over the last three episodes, we've chatted about taking a break as a freelancer, getting away from your business, unwinding, detoxing, disconnecting. While listening to those episodes is not integral to you listening to this one, if you want to hear all of the stuff that we said before, please do listen to those. In this episode, we're going to be covering after a much needed break, getting back into the swing of things. This can always be a challenge. And I myself, again, through this whole series, I've been very transparent. I struggle with taking time off. And tend to cram more work in than I need to. But there are particular strategies for reintegrating smoothly after time off, from tackling post-holiday emails to gradually ramping up your productivity. Coming back to the office can be quite an overwhelming thing, especially if you've taken 2 or 3 weeks off. How do you handle the backlog? Because there is undoubtedly, even if you've taken off over December, which in South Africa is traditionally the summer holiday period and everybody else is on leave, traditionally, irrespective of that, there's going to be a million and one emails that you're going to have to catch up on. So how do you kind of ease your way back into work after being away?
So my most recent experience of that would be, so I took maternity leave this year in May, June, and July. So, you know, a good 3 months. And, you know, getting back into work, I knew work wouldn't look exactly the same because I don't have the same level of flexibility. I have other responsibilities. I'm not sleeping as well. So I had to be really intentional about not going back as full force as I was before. So to start off with, was, you know, as we've spoken about, letting clients know in advance that you're going to be unavailable during those times, which reduces then the amount of communication that you're having to deal with for the time that you're away. Because if people know you're away, they're less likely to be asking you for things and emailing you, etc. Nevertheless, as you say, you're still going to get back to quite a lot of emails. A lot of them will be rubbish. So something that we spoke about in an earlier episode was be a bit ruthless about what you unsubscribe to. Even if it's something that you read every now and then, except if it's my newsletter, if you're on that, please do stay. you'd actually be surprised. You don't really miss a lot of those, and they just take up a lot of mental space in your brain. And then remembering that emails are also, for the most part, other people's priorities, not your own. So don't let coming back to work be ruled by your inbox. And if you can, and I know it's difficult because we're all addicted to our email and it gives us something to do without us having to think too hard. If you can, don't start your workday by opening your email or you're coming back to work. Start by thinking of things that you actually need to do, like those, you know, the whole eat the frog thing, of what are the most important tasks that you actually need to get done before other people's priorities, i.e. emails, come and distract you from what you really need to be doing. So if you can, I would think about when you come back, what's the most important thing I have to do today? Get that done first. And then you know that once that's done, you're a bit freed up to handle the other distractions and things that come your way. So that definitely helped me. And my good old favorite, good old calendar blocking. So knowing what you need to do, blocking time for it on your calendar. And what that helps me do is see where I've overcommitted. So at the moment, I've got a nanny who looks after my baby from 7:30 to 3:30. So I know from 3:30, I'm unable to do any work. So I've blocked that off from my calendar. No one can book meetings with me then. I know that that time is now unavailable to me. So I then have to take the time that I do have left and divvy my work up between those remaining hours. And once that calendar's full, including, you know, time for a bit of white space in case there's any emergencies. Once that's full, I know I've taken on too much. So I know I speak about it a lot, but having my calendar really helps me visualize when I'm taking on too much or overcommitting at once.
Mm-hmm. I find that the way I tackle it is the day that I'm back in the office is not the day that the clients think I'm back in the office. Mm. So I know that with the clients that I've got, it's very high pressure high pressure content because it's long form, it involves multiple stakeholders, et cetera, et cetera. And I know as soon as I start working on that, I'm not going to have time for catching up on my own thing. So my own thing, for example, is making sure that the podcast is all scheduled and edited, et cetera, et cetera. All the admin stuff that I need to do. So making sure that all the accounts are paid, and my accounting and bookkeeping is done. My cash flow has been captured. All of those kind of little random tasks that don't really bring in money, but they're essential to your business. So if I am away, I will say to the client that I'm back on Wednesday, but I will go back to the office on Monday to kind of catch up on all these back end functions. So that I know when I get to, once the clients know that I'm back in the office, I can dedicate 100% of my focus to client work. So I find that that is the number one thing that helps me handling the backlog, is just actually going back a day or two early, and having that time alone in the office. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be necessarily be busy for the entire day. You are still gradually easing your way back in, which is also, it's that approach is also great because you are still easing your way back in. The worst thing for me is to take leave and start back in the office on a Monday with a full day, with a full workload. You kind of undo all of the relaxation that you've done in the previous week or two. So that's my strategy, is I will tell people I'm back on a Wednesday so that you've got a short work week. I go back on the Monday. I do what I need to do from a back-end perspective. And once I've done and hit my necessary targets that I need to do, like updating the bank accounts and making sure that everyone's been paid, etc., then I shut down for the day. So I have gone to work. I have worked. I've been productive. I've got stuff done. But I can kind of take a half day. So, yeah, that's my tip on handling a backlog, as well as kind of gradually ramping up.
That's really smart, because what I find I do is then, you know, also you're not able to relax fully while you're on holiday, because then I'm thinking, oh, I need to pay this person or pay this account or whatever. And I do it sort of ad hoc as I see an email come in, even while I'm meant to be on leave. But if you know that you've scheduled time to actually sit and get through all that stuff at once, I think it's far more efficient and also just way better for your brain and your relaxation too.
Yeah, I find that although it's not a conscious strategy, I tend to do it as I go on leave as well. So clients know that on the 13th of December, I am not going to be available. But then the following Monday and Tuesday, I will be at my desk. Well, I won't be at my desk. I'll be somewhere in the house with my computer prepaying and making sure that anything that could fall through the cracks while I'm on leave is actually, like, for example, my internet provider refuses to debit order me, and I have to manually pay that. And that has to be done on the first of the month. And if it's not, they cut me off. And like, if an internet company says they're going to cut you off, they are very quick to cut you off if you haven't paid. Even I think I was like R3 in arrears or something ridiculous, and they cut me off. So you have to, like, I know that I have to pay my internet, and I'm probably going to forget while I'm on leave. So I will pay it. I'll prepay it ahead of time while I'm in my last day in the office, not doing client work, but like prepping for leave. The coming back with those 2 days in the office, ramping, dealing with backlog, ramping up again, that is a conscious decision. Taking a couple of days after, it's also because I can't just switch off. Like, I find it very difficult to disengage from work. So having those kind of hours in front of the computer kind of satisfies some kind of broken need in me that at least I did something for the day.
Yeah. Fair enough.
So one of the things that I think is incredibly important, and as throughout the series I'm very bad at, is being able to cling to that feeling of relaxation and mental clarity from the time off as you go back into work, because once clients start and the work piles on and deadlines start, piling on, it's very difficult to even remember that you were on leave. Possibly, last week this time I was on a cruise and in the middle of the Med without cell phone reception, and it was amazing. And like that all disappears. Firstly, if any freelancer can afford a Med cruise, please tell me what you're doing, because that is the dream. We lose that feeling of relaxation very, very quickly. So do you have anything that helps you kind of cling to, I'm not exhausted anymore, I'm relaxed and I'm ready to face the new challenge of work?
So something that's actually been a real blessing is the fact that I now have a hard stop at 3:30 in the afternoon, and I have to then think, okay, I don't want to lose too much income. So how do I become more efficient so that I can actually get stuff done and leave my desk at 3:30 knowing, oh, well, I've done what I can do for the day and leave it at that. And because I'm tired, I actually don't do any work after that or in the evening or anything like that. Sure, I'm on my phone at certain points because we're all addicted, as we keep talking about. But I think, and I would urge freelancers, if you can, and it doesn't have to be at 3:30, it can be at 4:30, 5, 6, whatever your flexible working hours work for you. Or maybe it's in the morning that you only start work at a certain time every day, so that you're not always thinking, oh, well, should I be doing this or should I be doing that? Oh, I've still got a little bit of time. Maybe I must just do a bit of extra this and this and that. And I think Cal Newport mentions it in Deep Work too. Having that hard stop can be really powerful just to give yourself a reset. And then building routines into that hard stop. So this is what I do to wind down afterwards, so that you're not sort of just fart-assing around and not actually achieving anything, but feeling guilty because you're not achieving anything. That's something that's been sort of forced upon me, but I'm so glad that it was.
Yeah. So that's kind of like I'm at a loss for, I've used all my words for the day. that is day to day. How do you have something similar when you have been on holiday that you can, how long does that holiday vibe last once you're back in the office? Because for me, it dissipates pretty much.
Yeah, me too.
pretty much immediately. The only difference is that because I have been on leave, I'm feeling a little bit more motivated and I'm feeling a little stronger mentally to deal with people's crap, because, there's always a complaint and there's always someone moaning and there's always someone that needs something at the last minute. And I find that when I'm feeling frayed, especially in the fourth quarter, it's very difficult to deal with those things. Whereas come January, I'm a little bit more chilled because I've been on leave for 3 weeks, and it doesn't affect me as much. But it's not necessarily a technique. It's just I'm able, because I've been chilled, I'm able to deal with it a little bit better.
Yeah. I think something that also helps me is if, like we spoke about in a previous episode, when you've given that space for yourself to think of something new or creative or innovative, then you feel a bit excited to bring that back to your job, so that it's not, you're not doing the same old, same old. So do something new, learn something new, or take an idea that you've had and actually execute and implement it. It's not the same thing as sort of using that disconnection, but it's using the energy that you've gained from your break and creative thinking. And then you can feel productive and really proud of yourself when you actually put that into action.
Yeah, I think so. And for people that have been listening to all of the episodes so far, they'll know that I've just come back from a client trip. I was in the Netherlands visiting a client, and then I spent some time in the UK afterwards visiting family. And usually in Q4, I am reaching kind of burnout levels. I don't want to do anything. I've got zero fresh ideas. I've got zero energy to kind of put behind business or personal stuff. And those 2 weeks out of the office, even though one of them was working, and actually the second one was working too, because my brother and I ended up getting corona, and so we were housebound. So I ended up working anyway. But it was that, you know, that change of scenery just kind of reinvigorated me. And I'm feeling a lot more motivated right now than I was at this time last year, and in any Q4 previously. Like, I feel like I can actually make it to the end of the year, and I'm getting fresh ideas, etc. So I think it's just taking that break and getting away from your daily grind, maybe as well. So maybe ease your way back in by going to sit at Mug and Bean and do your morning work there, or do your admin time there or something, just to get a change of scenery.
And I just wanted to say, so another episode that we spoke about was how to time your breaks. So, I mean, it sounds like from what you're saying, it would be good if you take a break at the beginning of every Q4 or something, if you can, you know. It sounds like you need it. And it doesn't, I guess, have to be 2 weeks overseas, but just give yourself a bit of time to reset for the rest of the quarter.
Yeah. I mean, this trip basically has financially crippled me, and I know that I will regain that cash through the work based on the work trip. I am expecting a larger volume of work. I've deepened that relationship, and so it was one of those, you have to spend money to make money.
You'll get your return.
You can't, like, let's go overseas for 2 weeks just for shits and giggles at the start of every Q4. Like, that's not financially viable. But yes, I completely hear what you're saying, and I'm actually chunking all of what we've spoken about in the last four episodes together. This afternoon I'm going to go and sit outside, chill, and I'm going to think about my business cycle and when I should maybe look at pre-planning leave for 2025.
Love that. I mean, it's also always just nice to have something to look forward to. That's also can be motivating too.
Yeah, for sure. So that's my takeaway from these four episodes. We'd love to know from you, what has your takeaway been? Have we actually provided you with any kind of constructive suggestions and advice? What is stuff in terms of taking or in this episode, easing your way back in? Do you have any hacks and tips to share with us? We're always keen to share and to make our processes better as well. So please pop those in the comments, pop us a DM, and don't forget to subscribe, and we will see you in the next one.